Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guests are Tom and Lisa Butler, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. And I know that last night we had an afterlife discussion group that we moderate in New York, and we showed a movie. For people that aren't familiar with these afterlife discussion groups, we hold them throughout the United States. So if you're interested in one, you can send an email to ADG at Forever Family Foundation.
Right, ADG as an afterlife discussion group.
Right,
at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Right. And what we do is that when people express interest, and of course it's free of charge, when we get enough people in one geographical area, we get a facilitator and we start a group. And these groups talk about their open forums, safe, secure environments, and people talk about all sorts of things like dreams and signs and the afterlife and near-death experiences and physics and whatever.
And anything and everything that's related to the afterlife.
But every once in a while, when we come across a good movie, we show the movie at the group. And last night, we showed a movie called
Illusion. And it was starring Kirk Douglas, and it was his first role after his massive stroke that left him pretty much wiped out.
Yeah. And some say it was one of his finest performances, and I
agree. And our group absolutely loved this movie. And I think maybe because, well, first of all, his performance, Kirk Douglas's performance, was superb. And what made it fabulous for the group is that every single little aspect that you could think of that has anything to do with the afterlife was intertwined into this movie so perfectly that it leaves for wonderful discussions.
Yeah, at the beginning, he's straddling two worlds as he lies on his deathbed. And you always hear the saying that our lives are sort of like movie reels, you know, that they're, you might consider them just to be illusions that play out. And there's also a theory that everything that we do in life is stored in these Akashic records. And during the movie, it's heavily involved in that theme, and he's watching reels of movies of
from the Akashic records.
Yeah, and there's some interesting twists as well. You know,
and I think it brings up the biggest question when people say, "Oh, if only I could do those last moments all over again, or if only I could have changed the way I acted or what I said or something like that." And it's a wonderful theme.
Yeah, and it's something, especially people who have lost loved ones, that I know I contemplated it, is, you know, is it possible to change the course of events, you know? And if we live in a universe where, you know, past and present and future coexist, even though we don't recognize it in our physical existence, subject to our own natural laws, then maybe you can catch, you know, a glimpse of the future and change the past that comes into play in this movie too. So we'll be distributing it to different afterlife discussions.
Yeah, as they ask for it, it will go up for grabs. So if you belong to one of the afterlife discussion groups, let your facilitator know you'd want to see this great movie. We of course will let the facilitators know we have it. And
we also have a library of a lot of other movies.
Oh, other fabulous movies that we've shown over the years. And if you haven't joined an afterlife discussions group and you'd like to meet regularly with like-minded people discussing these topics, then send your email over to adg@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and Donna will help you get into a group or form a group in your area if there's enough people.
Yeah, I want to throw something by you. we've talked about a lot on the show about dreaming, and I know that for some unknown reason of late, you know, I've become a very active dreamer, and sometimes I'm fortunate to get, apparently, you know, getting in contact, you know, with people, some that I know and some that I never knew. But like two weeks ago, I think it was, I think I mentioned it to you at the time, I had a dream in which I was talking with my deceased grandfather, was he alive when we were married?
Yes.
He was, you know, so he died about, what would you say, 25, 30 years ago?
Wait, I think he died just before we got married.
Okay. So he's gone from the physical world about 36, 37 years. I'm having a very clear and lucid conversation with him for the first time, but the conversation didn't make sense. He was reading to me a document from a document that he received involving the apartment house that he lived in. You know, it was a legal matter, and he wanted to get my opinion, but it made no sense whatsoever. You know, so. Then, you know, why would my grandfather go to all the trouble of coming through to me, and then the message wasn't anything, you know, that made any sense? Any question?
My theory is, first of all, I want to address the fact of all of this sudden dreaming has probably a lot to do with who we've had on the show most recently. I mean, we were talking to Rita Dwyer, who's an expert on dreams, and then we had our on the air, The Gathering, which is an afterlife discussion group. The topic was dream visits. And so I think it's up front and close in your mind, as is our weekend retreat coming up in May, where we're going to be doing intensive work on optimizing dream visits. But that having been said, my theory on the reason we get these dreams that are visits, but the messages are somewhat bizarre, is because there's this translation gap. You got to remember that we don't do well in this present state of being with telepathy. And dream communication is telepathy. And on the other side, depending on how enlightened or transformed their soul is, they may be better equipped to communicate to us so that we would be able to interpret it and understand it well. And then maybe there are souls on the other side that don't know how to do that as well. So there's that mismatch going on in the, you know, lost in translation. That's basically what it is.
Well, that's a subject for another discussion, but I'm anxious to get to our guests. So we're going to take a break. And we come back, we're going to have a very interesting pair of guests, you know, Tom and Lisa Butler, and maybe we'll be lucky enough to play some actual EVPs on the air. So stay with us, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com. I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guests tonight are Tom and Lisa Butler. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
And Tom and Lisa Butler, some of you may have heard them on the show before. They're friends of the foundation. They run a wonderful organization. They're directors of the Association Transcommunication. You may be familiar with the previous name, which was the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Now, ATRANS-C is a not-for-profit organization that educates the public not only about EVP and related phenomena, but how we can understand the greater reality and what it means to have our personalities survive our physical deaths. Tom and Lisa are frequent guests on radio and TV programs. They conduct their own research. They publish a quarterly newsletter, and don't forget that they are authors of a wonderful book called There Is No Death and There Are No Dead. Welcome, Tom and Lisa.
Thank you.
Glad to be on. Glad to be talking to you all again.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You know, a good place to start, especially with the new name, is the term transcommunication. That's a term that may not be familiar to some of our listeners. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what transcommunication is?
Well, originally, in what we're in, the electronic, the organization started out as communication through electronic devices. And we became more and more, and were interested before that, in other types of communication, for instance, mediumship. And there's, within electronic communication, there's things that are like pictures and not necessarily sound. And so the term just transcommunication, communication between...
going across the veil.
Right.
And it's become, we've kind of adopted it. It was originally coined as instrumental transcommunication to describe, like Lisa says, the visual forms of EVP, really. Mm-hmm. And what we... we've adopted the transcommunication part of it, the trans meaning across the veil. And so you could say, for instance, if you wanted to get carried away, trans survival, you know, you're surviving across the veil. But anyway, we thought that it was a better name for us because it explained or it encompassed more things that we're actually studying.
Mm. And you're studying... I mentioned before you're studying, you know, what it means to have our personality survive a physical death. I mean, do you believe that everyone retains their personality, you know, after they pass?
Absolutely. And we have more and more evidence of that. Maybe sometimes not the kind that you would like. In other words, the grouchy uncle communicates again, and he's still grouchy. But that... You know, so in other words, a lot of people think that we go over to the other side and become angelic or full of all kinds of knowledge. What we see is it's a continued progression, and that like we grow here, we grow there.
Yeah. Well, one thing I always thought about, you know, there's certainly a great preponderance of evidence that our personality does survive, but... You know, after we pass on, especially for someone who didn't believe, you know, in an afterlife or survival, you know, it's got to be a total shock. And they have an entirely new perspective, to say the least. So with this new perspective, I would think that they might change their personality, don't you?
Well, we would hope so. But I think that we, you know, don't we all want the skeptic to come back and say, hey, you know, I was wrong? It's like we're waiting for that one.
I think that if you change the perspective a little bit and say that you're standing in the etheric or the greater reality, let's say your personality right now is in, okay, call it heaven.
Right.
And you are extending your point of view down into this physical experience so that it's as if you're... Think of your body, your physical body, as your avatar for this lifetime. In that sense, then, when you make your transition, when your body can no longer support you in the physical, then you're free to return back to your natural environment. And when you're sleeping, dreaming, preoccupied, quite often you have you have a good part of your attention or is actually back with your personality and the etheric.
Yeah, and I would imagine if you're trying to show somebody or convince somebody that's still in the physical that you survive, you would want to exhibit traits of the personality that you had when you were with them. So, you know, as evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know one of the most convincing are the better EVPs that one of our members, Martha Copeland, her mother had sisters that she would talk to about EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and one of the sisters said, well, when I go over there, I'm going to try to, you know, leave you a message. I'll leave you one of those voice messages.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when she went to the other side, you know, she did that, and I forget what the message was.
It was in her gravelly voice.
Yeah, it was definitely her voice, which is... You know,
what was funny is Martha received a couple messages from her that she was pretty sure it was her, but it was really not clear. And so she told her, was it her aunt? So look, you've got to speak up. You've got to speak louder so that the rest of the family can hear your voice. And so then she recorded this, I'm alive, really loud.
It's one thing to be able to record a voice, and it's another thing to not only record a voice but to recognize it as that voice. I know that we want to talk a lot more about electronic voice phenomena, but would you mind taking a call from
No,
the...
not at all.
Okay.
We have Rosa on line two.
Okay. Hello, Rosa.
Hello.
Rosa?
I'm particularly interested because I have not heard much about the fact that spirits were rarely retain the traits, you know, the character traits that they had on Earth. To me, it was just logical that, for instance, Bob Hope would not have this professorial side. I thought he would be a funny spirit. And the loved one that I've lost, I would certainly hope that would have the same traits that she had here on Earth, because I liked it. But I've been looking for information, proof. Proof. I guess that's what most people do.
Sure.
That's why I was so interested in talking to you or listening to you both. How far do you think that those traits go?
Well, Bob's right that in some cases we think that they're identifying themselves to us by being recognizable. So, you know, they don't have a physical voice anymore in the sense that we think of about it. So for us to be able to recognize their voice is probably more for us than it is for them. And we think that, I'm not going to keep this body. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to get a lot younger real quick. But yet people wouldn't recognize me as a younger self. So I'm going to represent myself as they last remember me. So there's a lot of, the communication is part of the personality and everything that's involved to be able to communicate. The rest of the story, I think, is that we don't go over there and all of a sudden become solemn angels. We go over there and we are, if we're a jokester here, we're probably going to be a little bit of a jokester over there, but at the same time, we're probably going to do it with more wisdom because we have a larger view now.
Do you think, and I'll give you a specific answer so that, you know, so you have a good grasp of what I'm trying to ask. One day I was walking and I saw a penny on the curb. And I picked up the penny and I don't know, instinctively looked at the mint date. And it was like past 18 years or something. And I just said, I even said it out loud, "Oh yeah, you're already of age." Well, that's not the kind of thing that would come to my mind. I don't think that way. I don't think in those terms. I didn't say it that way. I said it in a funny manner. I said it out loud. And then after I did, I thought, oh my God, that had to come from another source. It isn't me talking. That has to be her. That's something that she would say. That's something that she would do. That's thinking that I can't imagine. But as I said, I need it to hear it from somebody else, not just have that concept.
So, in other words, you feel like what you said out loud came from your loved one was
that's
actually...
right.
Right.
And even stuff that I write, I know I'm a writer, and I, some of the stuff I write, it's not my style, it's not my way of thinking. I'm not that funny, and yet I come up with pretty, you know, weird stuff that I think, well, that has to come from my writing partner.
Yeah. Well, Tom and Lisa, wouldn't you say that it's really part of the same phenomena, really? I mean, if you can, probably the same underlying principle is at work in making an imprint of a voice or making an imprint on one's brain or psyche from spirit. I mean, as she mentions, many inventors and authors and poets, and artists get inspiration. They don't know where it comes from. So it seems to be all connected.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we both agree with that. I keep thinking about a correspondent in the last 2 weeks that we started talking to, and we're going to do a little article on him. His dad wound up in the hospital and, you know, was completely healthy. They found out he had lung cancer, had never smoked in his life, and he was gone in 10 days. I mean, everything just failed. And so it wasn't, you know, it was a real fast kind of shock. And then the night that he passed, he set the car alarm off like 5 times. The son came and got the car, left his car, took his car away, and the son's car started alarming at his mother's house with the doors not even locked.
Right.
You go, this is, you know, this guy's a very logical,
he has
a doctorate, as a matter of fact. So it's interesting how they can communicate in different ways, and it's, there's just no explanation.
Right. Well, thank you for calling, Rosa.
Well, thank you for listening.
Okay. Okay, take care. You know, when we talk about the process of recording voices, and you give very good directions and help to people that would like to start off with that, but is it likely that somebody's going to get a recording or capture a recording, you know, right off the bat? Or would you say that on average it takes many, many hours of trying before success is received?
It's really strange. I think that I got a voice the third day. I believe that's right, the third evening that I tried. It was so low, I thought I was hearing it. Tom didn't hear it, and it was another several months before I was able to record a voice that was loud enough to actually, for somebody else to hear it.
Mm.
So perhaps my ears are more sensitive to sounds. One of our researchers, Margaret Downey, in a conversation with her the other day, she's talking about always using earplugs. Well, obviously, Margaret Downey, I now realize, has very sensitive ears. So perhaps, you know, there's a couple of things that could be going on here. The voices are there, and some of us can hear them better than others. I think that with everything, I think anybody can get voices, but it is quite a bit of work compared to, for instance, seeing a medium who has a connection with the other side and can bring your loved one in easily. You know, EVP actually causes the individual work to try to listen back to recording. And, I mean, there just isn't any.
But the benefit of it, though, is what you get a lot more information from a good medium. There's just no doubt about that. We look at EVP as maybe a complementary communication. But what it does is it gives you, if it's, you know, under most circumstances when you do collect a voice, you can recognize the voice if it is from your loved one. And what they say is characteristic of them. And you recorded it. Somebody didn't do it for you. It takes away a lot of the room for doubt and kind of makes you face up to the idea that you do actually survive.
So it's very
Absolutely.
Evidential.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But it's not... I mean, you all have tried. Isn't that correct? You all have tried and...
We have. We have not been successful, but we haven't really made a sincere effort into it.
But we keep trying.
We keep trying.
And I think... You know, I think there might be, I know, you know, we would say, well, okay, Sarah Estep, the founder of the original American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena, her book says do it every day at the same time in the same place until you start recording voices. And
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that is what I did, and I had the time, and I dedicated myself to it. You know, today, I think that was probably before computers. I
yeah,
mean, we had
yeah, it
a,
was.
We had a little box.
She broke my first Fat Mac.
So, you know, trying to work with this stuff. So,
right.
You know, there's just so much more technology around and things to do that take our time. I think it's more difficult for people to sit and try to do something like this. I know we're... Go ahead.
You know, I definitely agree. I mean, there are just so many distractions. The same with meditation. I'd love to be able to get into that more. There's not enough time. You just have to carve yourself out time to do EVP recording or time to meditate or whatever floats your boat. You know, one thing that I was fascinated by, I don't know whether I saw it in a documentary or I read about it. I know there's also some information on your website, which is atransc.org. Marcello Bacci, I read about how people gather around his shortwave radio that he uses to communicate and capture, you know, EVP, and which is one thing. But I know, and I believe it was him, at one point, researchers started taking apart the shortwave. I think they actually took the transistors or the tubes out, and yet the radio still continued to function and to capture spirit voices, which would lead one to believe that it's not the recording device itself. It's more of a mediumistic kind of or a focusing tool.
We think that that's exactly the case. First of all, he's a longtime researcher in the field of the paranormal phenomena, and he's worked a lot with EVP. And when he started working with, if you watch the video of him working with the radio, it's about 30 minutes or so before he starts getting contact, and he's listening very intently, and he's looking at the dial, and he's turning it very slowly. He's entraining his consciousness with that radio, and we do think that it's an electronic form of physical mediumship in which him and the group that are with him are all providing energy, just like in a physical seance.
And it is more like, it would be more like a physical medium, because he is, you know, EVP, you ask a question, you don't hear the answer until you listen to the recording. You know, then you can, you know, say, I heard you say this, but, I mean, you have to do another recording. With Bacci, he is actually, they're getting two-way communication.
And for EVP, it's extraordinarily long communication of high quality, and so, you know, we don't recommend to somebody that they say, okay, go out. Well, we've had people try it, you know, where they'll, Annabella Cardosa is another person who gets the radio EVP, and she's, between the two of them, they're probably the only two in the world that are really fluent in it. And so we recommend people start out with a regular recorder first.
Right. I mean, I think this is exceptional. But he's getting, Bacci gets, you know, on the video, like there are these apports of rose petals that happen.
Yeah, I read about that.
These sessions, and I mean, mothers actually have two-way communication with their children, and it is mostly with Bacci. It's mostly mothers that have lost their children.
We've been since we've changed the focus of the organization, we've made every effort to set with some of the world's more successful physical mediums. And we're just, it's astounding how when a person finally develops into a strong physical medium, how really impressive the phenomena can be. I mean, the old idea that, you know, your physical mediumship stopped years and years and years ago is somewhat true, but there seems like now we're seeing some really, especially like there's a young fellow in Germany, his circle, he's been working at it and working at it and working at it, and now he's starting to produce some phenomena that is amazing.
Well, for instance, I think Tom's talking about the Felix Experimental Group in Frankfurt, near Frankfurt. And just lately, I mean, there are things, the word ectoplasm, you know, I think, I mean, I grew up and it's like, okay, baloney. You know, I what is this, you know, word? What is this stuff? You know, it can't be real. And I guess as we learn that, hey, people can record their voices on recording equipment, that's, you know, past a lot of people's boggle point. Now we're sitting in physical seances where this fellow in Germany, they're actually faces are now developing in this thing called ectoplasm that we have now personally seen and watched photographed.
Mm.
And to most people, they would say, you know, well, everybody's going to say that's fraud. It's not. You know, I mean, there might be frauds out there, but there are several mediums that
yeah, this,
are the real deal.
We're a pretty modern group of observers these days, and they're doing everything they possibly can to record this phenomena while still protecting the medium.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to get into a little bit more about physical mediumship with you. We're going to go to a short break, and we come back. I'd like to get some more input about not only what you witnessed, but what the implications are. So stay with us, and we will be back in a few minutes.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guests here tonight are Tom and Lisa Butler. This show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to Tom and Lisa Butler, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Our Visa cards are still out there. If you sign up, Visa makes a donation to us, and every time you use it, they make another donation to us. So we encourage you to go online at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org and sign up for the Visa credit card. And after you get the card, sign up for iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation your charity of choice, and go shopping at their over 900 online stores, and we'll make a little bit of money every time you go shopping. And if you don't see what you want at iGive.com, go to Amazon.com, and again, we get a donation from Amazon every time you go shopping without you spending any more money. And I want to thank everybody out there, all of our listeners who have been doing this, because we are hitting a threshold now of donations from Amazon, and I will report next month if you guys continue to pledge that you will continue to buy your books from Amazon through the Forever Family Foundation website and keep our programs going with those donations from Amazon. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is coming to an end. We're going to be calling the winners tomorrow. It is too late for you to send in a check, but if you want this evening, you can call the office at 631-425-7707. I'll be happy to take a credit card from you over the phone just before we draw tomorrow. And very last announcement is our weekend retreat. There are some spaces left, the May 20th to 22nd, Transforming Grief into Hope and Understanding. It's an afterlife exploration retreat with Rita Dwyer, teaching us how to optimize dream visits, Dr. Mo Teresa Hanna talking about induced after-death communications and how to make that happen. We have Kim Russo and Doreen Malloy, both wonderful spiritual mediums, and we will be doing all kinds of group things, movies, discussions, and the food there is fabulous, and it's a wonderful retreat in a wonderful, beautiful place, and come and join us. Bob?
Okay, and thanks for staying with us, Tom and Lisa. You know, we left, we were talking about physical mediumship, and you've had the opportunity to experience it. And, I mean, ultimately, I mean, I've always maintained, and I'm sure many people do, that the only way that you could really change your view about the afterlife, you know, getting from moving to the, well, maybe believing to the absolute knowing, is through personal experience. I mean, you could read, you could talk to other people, but until it happens to you, I don't know that you ever can have that deep inner knowing. And that may, I don't know if you agree with this, but certainly your experiences with physical mediumship probably changed your views a bit.
It did. I mean, actually, I think the EVP was the first thing. I don't think I slept 3 days over. And then when we got into a physical seance, and you know that there's no trap doors, you know, you search the place, you know, because the first one, there was quite a lot of dark. It was in the dark quite a bit.
I got to inspect every square inch of the place. I got to help lock him into his chair. I knew exactly what was in that room, and when they locked the door.
And for us, this was the first seance with David Thompson. The other mind-blowing thing was Constantine Radove, who is more or less, he's not actually the father of EVP, but he brought it to the attention of the public and has been involved. I mean, you can go back in books with other researchers that he's communicated with. And, I mean, he's interested in bringing EVP and ITC to the public. And, I mean, we didn't know him from Adam, and here he is in a physical seance talking to us. I mean, it was just, it's like, you know, mind-blowing.
The second time that he showed up was in Sarasota with David, and he gave us a secret code and a recording date. And it was interesting. We were about 3,200 feet over Ely, Nevada, when the recording time was supposed to happen. And it turns out that David Thompson was born, I guess, in Ely,
UK.
And we had one of our members actually recorded the secret message on that day.
Mm.
So you know, there's evidence there, but one of the things that we're really getting into now is we're studying the energy healing as one of the phenomena, and all of the research, there's a tremendous amount of research on that, and one of the benefits to all of us is that in order to be able to understand psychic functioning or psi functioning, the energy healing is a way of being able to study that, because that's one of the manifestations of it. And it turns out that it's all about intentionality, and that's what's influencing you. You've heard of the Global Consciousness Project, where they had the random event generators were all influenced by the 9/11 attack and stuff like that. Well, that's all what we're seeing is intentionality. When you said that it's hard to believe unless you have personal experience, well, one of our challenges now is finding ways of being able to teach people to set aside their disbelief, suspend judgment, if you will, so that they can bring more control to their intentionality, because that seems to have a great deal to do with the whole life experience.
Yeah, and there's certainly evidence that group intention appears to be more powerful than a single person sending thoughts out there. You know, the combined coherence somehow has a greater effect than the bigger is better than small, I guess, when it comes to intention, and that seems to be what the Global Consciousness Project and these group intention healing experiments and the power of prayer, et cetera. So there's definitely something to that. I wanted to try. I know that some of our listeners have not had an opportunity to actually hear, you know, an EVP, and I know that you did send along a couple of clips, and we would tell people that most of these are only a few seconds, you know, in duration. So maybe perhaps we could, you know, play one. I mean, the first one that you sent was, you mentioned it was from George, who was a member of ATRANS-C. Go ahead.
And this is kind of a lesson for all of us, because I think the lesson in this EVP is don't give up. He was a good best friend of Martha Copeland, and they both recorded together. He was interested in reaching his wife through EVP, and so he was a researcher. So she, you know, tried to get him, or several people tried to get him right away, and we might have gotten a few things, but they couldn't really, you know, they were Class C EVP. So Martha more or less gave up on George. George crossed 2 years ago, and this EVP, I think she got in the last 3 months, unintentionally. You know, she was recording, and she didn't ask for George. She wasn't even thinking about George, and he came through. And this is almost human voice quality. It's really amazing EVP.
All right, well, let's try to play that and see what we can hear.
George, I can be of help.
Okay, well, now that to me is very clear. Let's play it once.
That's clearer than our last caller.
I know. let's try to play that once more, if we could.
George, I can be of help.
Okay, so
he says, George, and a lot of people can't hear it. Some of us can. He says, George, when I can still help. And, I mean, so here he is 2 years later, but he's saying he can help.
I was just going to say that I didn't necessarily hear the win, but the George is as clear as could be, and, you know, and I could be of help or I can help. So you know, when you hear something like George in a human quality class A, as you said, it's hard for one to believe, you know, when a lot of skeptics will say, well, it's just the human mind making sense of nonsense. If I played that clip to 50 different people, I think that all 50 would recognize George.
Right. Yeah. And probably help. And even more than that, if you had known George Wynn, you would know that that was George's voice. So when Martha sent it to us, I'm going, oh my gosh. I mean, we recognized his voice. So people that know him recognize that as him.
So, and even with that, and this is a battle that I'm sure you've had in all your years of EVP research, is that a lot of your colleagues will say, well, this is a good example of psychokinesis. You know, this is the human mind can somehow telepathically, imprint a voice. And, you know, maybe this was, Martha imprinting the voice. So, what do you say to that?
Okay, first of all, it's true that we have not figured out a way to shield against thought. Your thoughts do not seem to be restricted by time or distance, and we can't put a cage around you and keep your thoughts from getting out. So you're right, that's an issue. Psychokinetically, a person could freeze, and by, you know, if we are spirit in a physical body, then we ought to be able to do that anyway. I mean, that's all part of the deal. But the thing is that you start taking the preponderance of evidence, the clarity of the voice, the unexpectedness of it, the fact that we've got so many other forms of phenomena, your mental mediumship that is sometimes really spectacular, physical phenomena, visual phenomena. So you take the accumulated effort. No one of them can really be decisively prove that you survive, but collectively we begin to get a body of evidence.
And there are, I guess, like with all other types of phenomena, there are EVPs that have been recorded that the person didn't know. For instance, someone saying that their name and the person didn't know they were on the other side, and they're on the other side.
Yeah. Right. And we haven't gone to the cost of voice analysis, but there, for George's example, but there's Sonia Rinaldi in Brazil has been basically collecting collaborated voices where she's got the recording of the person while they were living and then the recording of them in their EVP, and they're matching forensic analysis by universities somewhere around the 98%. Percentile.
Yeah, which is that's pretty evidential. There's another clip that you sent as part of a EVP maker study, results from Margaret Downey, and you have a part there, and I hear an interesting name in that clip, so maybe we can play that clip as well.
How about Tom Butler? Do you know the name of either of Tom Butler's cats? So I'm going to close for the evening. Can you tell me goodbye? I heard you say I love you. Love you too.
All right, that was a little bit hard to hear because of the volume. But and also with the EVP maker, it has that sort of computer tone to it. But
yeah.
I did hear how about Tom Butler? Where Margaret said, and then the EVP was Tom Butler. So I know that we don't have much time left, but as far as people can learn about EVP Maker and some of the studies, there are a lot of interactive little studies and research projects that you do, which I love, on your website, again, which is ATRANSC. That's ATRANSC.org. People can participate in studies. You have something up there now where people could you put up a target image, and then you're trying
yeah.
to if you can.
We have a secret. This is actually the last month on that. We have only one person in the world knows what the picture is or what the object is. And what we're trying to do is get people to use EVP Maker following a specific protocol, that synthesized voice, that robotic sound, and have a recording saying what the target is. And so far out of 12 months of it, we're 11 months of it, we've had one person come up with the target answer, but the listening panel didn't pick it up. So far we're not doing too well on that. And one of the things we're learning, two lessons, one of them is that Margaret is a very strong physical medium. She does spectacular work with EVP and almost any other phenomena you can imagine. And two, it's very difficult to discover something that, you know, to record a voice or anything like that to get answers that you don't already know the answer to.
Mm.
It can be done, but it's a definitely a senior project.
Right, and I know that you've also, ATRANS-C is currently funding a study with the Rhine Research Center, which will give you a better idea of how people, you know, hear EVP. So I'm sure you'll
be... Yeah, that should be really fun.
Yeah, you'll be able to report back on that. So again, people go to ATRANS-C.org, and if you are able to pick up a copy of the book that the Butlers wrote... There is no death, and there are no dead. And
it's available as an e-book now, by the way.
Oh, it is. Okay, good.
Yes.
And people also, there's a wealth of information on your website, including people that have always thought about trying to record EVP, and you have some very detailed step-by-step directions, including you know, how to go about it, what equipment is necessary, and then some good suggestions to increase your success. So I wish we had more time. There's always so much to talk to you about, and that's why we love having you, and we'll surely invite you back again. So thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Chuck Rocket, Vicki Steffi, Janet Mayer, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo. And our last prayer for the Gulf on the anniversary of the spill. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Masuro Emoto on May 9th, 2010. And, of course, we extend those same wishes to the waters around Japan. And
It's time to say.
Oh, it is time to say. Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.